Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Do you ever buy a loaf of fresh bread that you decide to just eat in the car with your hands before you get home because it smells that good?
No.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I think it's just you. I tried to beat the Sunday Scaries with a scary movie double feature, and by golly, it scared them right out of me.
Good work, Heather. My Apple Watch thought I was awake several times last night and then woke me up telling me to stand. Sorry that I dream hard, Apple Watch.
Ah, what a jerk. I'm on a pumpkin spice latte kick, full fat milk, double shot, 16 ounces, F it all.
F it. Have such a good day. Hello, world. Welcome back to Have Such a Good Day. And I hope at some point we have a theme song.
We have a theme song,
but like not that we're singing to.
No, I don't know if everybody out there would like to hear us sing, but I'm happy to sing alone in my car at every chance possible. But welcome to the show that unpacks the absurdity of everyday life, small talk, big talk, and all the talks in between. Just mostly want to have fun with y'all for like an hour. And some change.
Exactly. Consider this, depending on what's going on in your life, consider this an hour-ish of just having some fun.
Talk therapy.
Saying, you know what? All that other stuff is just going to be shelved for a little bit. I'm going to do my thing with my girls. In fact, we got an email from Jolly Tiki. Jolly Tiki, I hope you don't mind us reading this, but it resonated with me. Jolly Tiki wrote, "My wife came home on Friday and said I had such an effed up day. Made me think y'all probably feel like changing the name of the podcast sometimes." And, you know, we never have thought that, but we definitely sometimes, Heather and I will get through an episode and be like, were we kind of downers today? Because it just, you know, life does that to you.
Well, I actually guarantee, Sarah, at some point in an episode, we have made the joke, like maybe the show should be called Have Such a Lame Day or Have Such a Monday. I feel like we've joked about it in the past.
But it's implied that we're all going to have that anyway.
Sure.
The hope is that we all have such a good day, because the lame day is like, it's already like, you don't have to try to do that.
That's true.
We've all made a slight step forward into having a good day. So yeah,
it's really funny because sometimes when like a day just kind of spirals, when like everything is more complicated than it should be, like every, you know, every step of the way, and my boyfriend is always like, you just have to understand that everything is a shit show. And just once you know that, then you just, it's no big deal. You just go, okay, well, there's that shit show. And yeah, you ride the wave, you laugh at it, and you can't take it so seriously. But really, like everything is like a can of worms. I feel like nothing is really simple. There's a lot of gray in the gray area. I don't even want to get into it, but it's like this can of worms, like a weird thing with our generator company that's basically a monopoly. You know, we have three generators on this property, and
generator meaning something that will keep your lights on if your power goes out.
Exactly. Yeah. But we run a business here too, so it's important that we get these things serviced. Right,
like you can't all just sort of like hang out by the campfire and just say, no. Oh, well, whatever.
And make s'mores every night. We can do that, but yeah, that's not really going to keep the lights on.
Not with like people
on.
Who are paying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've been there.
That's right. That's
I've been there. You know, you mentioned listening to music in the car. And I told Heather about this, but I'm going to tell everybody else just because this is like apropos of nothing. But the other day, so I subscribe to these email newsletters now, which I didn't want to do for a long time. You know, people go like, oh, you know, have you seen so-and-so's new Substack? And I'm like, I don't need more email. No. I mean, I know there are like other ways to, you know, to digest the stuff. But for the most part, I was just like robbing myself of really good writing because that's where a lot of writers are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got a couple Substacks that I'm into. Like when they hit my inbox, I'm like, yes. You know, like I want to read something good, you know, not unlike reading an article from my favorite magazine type thing. And this one author, I don't even remember what the real gist was about of this particular post, but he had mentioned Metallica and the song Nothing Else Matters by Metallica, and like embedded a YouTube, you know, link into the Substack thing, you know, and I was like, I didn't even watch the video. Like, I don't need to see the video if Nothing Else Matters, but I know the song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, gosh, when was the last time I heard that? So later on that day, I was in the car, you know, this is where I consume most of my music. And I was like, let's put on the Black Album. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, Heather, like it spiraled me into like Metallica land. I have always liked Metallica, but I mean, I'm not their biggest fan. You know, I probably haven't listened to a Metallica song on purpose unless it was playing somewhere in quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to Metallica concerts. They're Bay Area guys, you know, where you and I are both from. And, you know, and very prolific, many albums. You know, speed metal might not be your thing. But boy, back in the day, I love some Metallica. And I was in the car, but I was going to the gym. And I just, like, couldn't stop once I started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here I am at the gym just, like, you know, on the recumbent bike, just being whatever. Like, usually I'm listening to podcasts at the gym.
Darkness imprisoning me. All I see.
Absolute horror. I cannot live. Yeah. And, like, here I was just, like, pedaling and looking around and just being like, no one knows what I'm doing right now.
I love it.
Like, and I'm fucking railing on the inside. Yeah. It was fun. It was really
fun. I love
that.
In fact, I will say I have a soft spot for Metallica. I listen to it fairly often. Usually I just hear it on, I have like some metal serious channels that are kind of at the top of my list. And they play a lot of Metallica, and they play a lot of the Black Album, which is definitely one of my favorites because it was during an impressionable time when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And like I know that whole album by heart, and I will rock out in my car. I don't know what people think I'm doing in my car as I drive past them, and I'm just like moshing on my steering wheel. You know,
I was doing that too.
You can't help but mosh
anywhere. Yeah. You know, and like, you know, you kind of see people look over, and I'm like, wherever I may roam. You know, like looking them in the eye, like I'm weird right now. Yeah. Metallica.
I love it. And now you have like the cute rocker hair to go along with it.
Oh, thanks.
You're really playing the part.
So when Heather and I recorded our show last week, it was right before I went to get my haircut. And getting a haircut is not like that big a deal. You know, mm-hmm. I'm aware that this is not, you know, moving the needle too much on Earth in general. But what I had been grappling with for a while was like, I had, you know, post chemotherapy, I had like long hair that I had used what's known as a cold cap to keep, so that I didn't have to basically lose all my hair or shave my head kind of thing. And it worked kind of, but it worked to the point where it's like, yeah, like half my hair was still there, but the rest of it was coming in real short and just weird. It just looked weird. Mm-hmm. You know, all I did was like wear hats and, you know, have my hair in a bun and sort of slick it back. And like, what's the point? So cut it off. Didn't shave it. Luckily, I kind of was in a position where even the shortest parts of my hair are like long enough that I can have like a quite short bob, and mm-hmm. and it looks like I did it on purpose, even though I was sort of, you know, force fed this haircut. But Heather, I gotta tell you, I love it.
And awesome.
Yeah, it's like there's so many. I don't know. I could go on and on about hair, but the hairdresser that I go to these days was recommended to me about a year ago, maybe slightly more, by a hairdresser that I had gone to for a long time who was moving out of the area. And she was like, I'm so sorry, but here's somebody that I think you'll really like. So this current hairdresser has only known me as like the cancer patient with weird hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's super cool about it, you know, just sort of like, whatever you want to do, you know, let's work it out. And for a while I was like, well, I don't want to cut it. You know, I like long hair. Long hair is my thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just not cute. It just wasn't cute. You know, even like braiding it was just like, it didn't make, I don't know. You know, all the things I like about long hair is like, we need to start from scratch here.
Totally.
And so, yeah, when I was in there, you know, I also get my hair colored, you know, so we do that first. That's like the, you know, the meat and bones of the whole thing. And she was like, okay, well, like, show me some photos. Just like, I just want to make like, 100% sure that we're on the same page, you know, because of course, when you're a hairdresser, you don't want to do something that someone's going to be like, oh my God, why did you do this to me? You know, if it's sort of dramatic. And I showed her and she was like, okay, I see what you're doing. Are you sure though? this is going to be kind of a big deal.
You have to send me the photos you sent her.
I will. You know, she's like, we can do this, but uh-huh. you know, let's take a breather. Like, you know, eye contact, like we're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're doing it.
Yeah. Cause if you're not happy with it, it's like, that's gotta be huge responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I could get like hair extensions. Like that's insane. I would never do that. That it's cool if other people do, but you know, who's got the time? Yeah. So she cut all my hair off and styled it real nice. And I was like, I love it. I love it. I'm so happy. Like it just
probably
feels
so
like
relieved.
Sort of like, you know, I know this is all very kind of a trite thing, but it was cathartic. You know, mm-hmm. I felt like I was like cutting off like bad mojo.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so here we are. We're rocking the short bob and my hair is crazy. When I first wake up in the morning, I mean,
it's like standing on end.
Very much so. We talked about chia pets before, like Heather, I'm more of a chia pet than ever. But then I just sort of like, you know, just let it chill. And
lean into the chia pet, Sarah.
I'm leaning in.
There's nothing
I'm
wrong with the chia
in.
Pet.
It's chia lane over here. And I got to tell you, it feels really good.
Well, this is good. It's a pre-birthday, refresher. And,
indeed.
Yeah, I don't want to trigger any bad feelings about your birthday, but it is coming up. I know this because it's early October and I have already kicked off 31 Days of Horror, which is some of y'all know, and I don't know if Jake is still listening, but him and I used to rap about the horror movies we'd watch throughout the month. You pick 31, you watch one every night, maybe a double feature, which is what I did over the weekend. Started, you know, it can be a rewatch of some of your favorites or, throw in some new ones. We kicked things off with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a real classic. And I realized
you really found the guy for you, Hev. I gotta hand it to you.
It's just like,
you know how many people would be like, I'm not doing that, myself included.
Totally.
Yeah. It's cool.
Throughout the movie, I will say, because I truly think I'm trying to be objective here. Texas Chainsaw is one of the best horror movies ever made. Is it, in a way, it's in my top 10, but what I don't like is any sort of alluding to violence or cutting of flesh, that type of like gore, and when it feels real. And Texas Chainsaw definitely has that. I mean, hence the chainsaw.
Sure.
For me, my favorite is actual like horror. Psychological horror. I don't like violence. I close my eyes. So throughout the watching of this movie I've seen it probably 5 times. I kind of was reminded like, oh, I forgot like some of this stuff. It really gets to me. You know, it's very horror. I mean, it's a very scary movie in a horror way, but it has these parts that go a little far for me. I would say that that's not a rewatch that I want to do very often. Mm-hmm. I'd rather like go back to something like When a Stranger Calls or some of those spooky like 70s ones that aren't bloody and violent and torture porn and that sort of thing. But it'll be fun. There's a lot of actually interesting horror movies, like foreign stuff on Criterion Channel right now. I love that. I have to say, that's one thing I love about having these streaming services is some of them get so creative with themes. Not just like for holidays, but like Criterion in particular, I love because they just did a whole like 90s horror kind of, where they create a catalog and then they pull and then you're like, whoa, I've never seen The Craft or like stuff that is kind of classic from like an era that really established an era or an era.
I liked that movie.
I liked it too. And I had never seen it. And I realized, I was like, that's weird. I haven't seen it because, you know, I love Buffy. I love that kind of thing. And I looked at what year it was made and it was like 97 and I was in France. And I think that's probably why I didn't see it, but I thought it was so interesting. I never saw it until now, first time. But anyway, other than that, I am currently in the market for, I like to let you guys know what I'm in the market for. what's on my shopping list. And the current thing is a
let's unpack it, Heather.
Yeah. What am I wire cutting? Usually I like try to, you know, check in with Wirecutter or Strategist. Sometimes Wirecutter can be a little bland because they don't break down like the best quality disco ball. You know, so like, right. That's what I'm looking for right now. And they're not cool as that. I need like more of a Strategist, maybe New York Times for what I'm calling Operation Disco, which is transforming one of my rooms here. Well, our art studio into a dancing environment for some people who are coming up, over the New Year's, and we'll have a little party. Other than that, though, this last weekend, Sarah, was a bit different. A new friend of mine, shout out to Sasha, put on a local event. She worked her tail off to do this, and she's super involved in the community. You know, I live in kind of a smaller community now, so the whole community aspect is really cool because you can do whatever you want. Like you can throw an event and get people to come, and it's very grassroots and it's cool. And so this is the second year she's done this, and it's kind of like an all weekend, like yoga retreat kind of thing with, you know, some meditation classes, Pilates, mostly yoga. But then she has speakers that are, you know, talking about, you know, sensuality or like whatever the theme is, you know, various things. It's not all about yoga, but it's cool. And she curates the whole thing, and it's all Saturday and Sunday. And I volunteered for her a little bit, ran a table, and, you know, there's a little like patch of grass in the back that has all these vendors, just like, you know, like the local like plant shop had like a little stand where you could buy, you know, plants and pots. Yeah. You would have liked it. And it was in a massage.
Small town, yeah. And also like California.
Total
stuff.
Cali. Yeah. And you got a kombucha bar.
Perfect. I would never leave. Yeah,
exactly. And it ended up being one of those things where I was like, you know, I was super committed to Saturday. You know, I'm going to be there most of the day. This is, you know, this is how it's going to play out. And then I was going to go back for a little time on Sunday, but I was a little reluctant to like give up my weekend to such a structured thing and committing all this time. Cause normally I really enjoy having like free open time just to putter around like we like to do.
Oh, this is why I don't like weekend long festivals.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I know.
I'm going to like it for like 6 hours and then I need to go be by myself.
Exactly. And so I was worried about that, but I kind of went with it. I was just like, you know what? I wanted to support Sasha. She worked so hard on it, and some other people did too. And it was people that I know. I met some new people. I actually met some great new people, and it made me think about how much I've wanted to matriculate with some new, interesting people. And that's what happened. It felt really nice to, you know, participate in something very community-based. I can sit home any day, you know? And I actually made some interesting new friends that I'm going to catch up with this week. So
cool.
Yeah. I think really what I learned from this, I always like a takeaway. I like to learn. I'm all about education here. And I learned that, yeah, I can sit home any day, you know, try to break out of your sort of routine and habits and do something different and new. You know, yoga I feel very comfortable with. I took 3 yoga classes with teachers I know, easy peasy, right? I was very sore though by the end of the weekend. It was definitely like physically challenging. But one thing I did, instead of going to another yoga class of a teacher that I knew and really love, I was like, you know what? I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go, because they had 2 rooms going at one time, so you couldn't do everything. You had to choose one room or the other.
How very festival of them.
Exactly. And so I ended up going to this like meditation class, which I'm always reluctant to do because they can be a little woo-woo for me. But this guy was really modern and interesting and kind of intellectually spiritual, like in a way that like really resonated with me. It was great.
Cool.
Anyway, if you have any thoughts or questions, email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Indeed. Yeah. I first of all, glad you had a fun weekend. It does sound really fun. And I know that feeling of sort of like, it's just going to be a little too woo-woo. And by the way, if no one knows what that term means, it's sort of like, I don't know, touchy-feely Mother Earth.
A little overly spiritual for me. It's a
term
sort of
that's
it.
Sometimes used to... I mean, I think it's maybe used sometimes to like explain like what could be considered like someone being a charlatan.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, you know, I mean, obviously that's not what your experience was. But yeah, the woo-woo thing, it's like... That's why I don't meditate all that much, because I'm like,
exactly.
I don't know.
It's not always like that. And that's what reminded me, because I do think it's important to kind of quiet your mind, because I tend to overthink or I over intellectualize.
Sure, yeah.
And it's, you really, I think, get to like the core of, you know, who you are and maybe what you want by sitting still. I think the woo woo is very, it's like a over the top mystical kind of maybe unscientific, like kind of. It feels like maybe a little bit too on a certain side of spectrum of
I think sometimes it's warranted, like if someone's like, this new kale drink will, you know, cure your cancer, it's like, okay, shut up.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of other stuff, and maybe part of what you experienced this weekend was like that, where I think that many people are just uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
So they dismiss it.
Yep.
As being like, that's hippie.
It's not for me.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, that sort of thing. And hey, maybe it isn't for you, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
It's always good to try anything.
It was a good reminder that there are lots of different levels of these things. And yeah, one might not work for you, but the other one might. So keeping an open mind, I think, is important.
Well, Heather, I don't know how much of an open mind you have about ads being served to you on the internet. Most people
very closed.
Say, yeah, ads in general being served to me on the internet, which means that, you know, if I click on one little thing that I'm going to get that ad for those shoes that I weren't going to buy anyway, you know, for the remainder of my days, you know, that is... On the surface, it's like, yeah, that's annoying, but you get why it's happening, right?
Yeah, totally.
You know, someone said you seemed interested and we're going to, you know, just hammer that into your life until you buy these fucking shoes,
God.
You know, or you like, you know, depending on what social network you're on, you can hide the ad eventually. Yeah. I am more or less, I would like to say that I am just sort of immune to this at this point, because I understand how the internet works.
Uh-huh.
I know that, you know, this is how money is made, and it's pretty easy to ignore it. I also feel that way about like television commercials, or I don't know, commercials that I might hear while I'm at Target walking around in a circle, because I love Target so much that I'm there for like 2 hours at a time. You know, nothing wrong with me, everybody. We're talking about ads here. But like, the idea that, just to go back a couple steps, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because there was a story that I talked about on Daily Tech News Show today about Facebook, Meta, parent company of Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, talking to the European Union about floating the idea, this is not happening, but floating the idea of charging consumers to not have ads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what the Wall Street Journal, I believe, was the publication reported was like 10 euros a month to just have like no ads, no tracking. You just have like a stripped down version of the Facebook you always wanted, right?
Oh, and sounds, you know, heavenly.
People go, well, yeah, that's, I mean, why don't we just have that for free already, you know? And there's a lot of economics involved in why that is not possible, but you know, my, on the show earlier today, I was like, my takeaway was like, nobody's gonna pay for that. They're just going to complain about the tracking and the ads because people don't have another 10 euros or dollars or, you know, whatever per month to pay for something, you know, to have less noise. Now, Some of you out there might be like, well, I do. And that's great. And maybe that will be an option for you, you know, in the US, I guess, you know, at some point. But likely not. And I just, I don't know. I've been thinking about, I mean, Heather, how many times have I told you, I've got this song in my head. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. It's because it was in a commercial. It was some sort of subliminal thing. And now it's a wormhole. And now I can't, you know, sleep at night kind of thing. Like, I understand that advertising is effective. Even if you feel like you're pretty aware of advertising being effective and therefore you won't fall for it. It still will creep in. Like there is the ad creep. And, you know, I just, I don't know. I guess I was thinking a little bit earlier today about like, would there ever be a world where we just don't have this? You know, like advertising is no longer effective and we just, I don't know, don't have that.
If we stopped having like a capitalist society, maybe, but I just doubt that'll happen.
I mean, obviously it's a much, much larger conversation about, you know, how money is, changes hands. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think there are people who just sort of don't care. I care very much.
Yeah,
I mean,
I do
you
too.
Know, like I have a broadcasting degree, like a big part of my degree was about like manipulation in media, you know, and like understanding that and like how to manipulate and also how to know when you're, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like it's not rocket science, honestly, but, but if you don't ever think about it or you're not told to, you just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I think for me, I get served mostly, you know, on like on a place like Instagram, it knows me really well. And so it'll pitch me brands that I already love and I'm already purchasing or, you know, wanting, like it's such a, an easy target, but then I get really frustrated with ads that make no sense to me, you know, and I get these really weird, weird ads where I'm like, where does this come from? This has nothing to do with me. Some like a fat suit and like weird toe shoes and like weird sci-fi, like, no, I'm not kidding. I'll send you screen grabs. Like weird,
it probably
weird,
has something to do
stuff.
With like content you're watching.
I don't know though, because I mean, and I get frustrated, like, and especially when I'm on, you know, recipe sites and places where it's just like, you can't even read the content because you're just getting so pummeled with stuff. Like, I guess, I mean, I think some of the tailored marketing, and I think some brands are better than others where it's like, I saw you eyeing, you know, they'll send you an email, like you're eyeing something on their website and then they send you a follow-up. Like we see that you like something.
Like, oh, sorry. You know, were you pulled away? You had something in
and you're
the,
like, fuck you. In, yeah, like, leave me alone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like get away
from I don't like that. And the thing is it kind of, it does the inverse to me. It makes me not want to buy it. So I'm like, yep, you did sort of the opposite of what you were
trying
to do.
Shot your shot. Yeah. And now I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the other thing where it was funny. I was talking to someone about this earlier today, but you like, you'll sign up for something. Like say for example, so I have this monthly delivery of mushroom coffee and, they, you know, they'll send you reminders when they send it out. But like normally you would just go, okay, well, every month, like my Sightglass Coffee email comes out every 28 days like, or whatever.
Let me know, like, delivery, we're good.
Straight up, cool, like thumbs up. But this one in particular, it sends like at least a weekly newsletter that has nothing to do with my delivery. It's like their names. So I'm always like, who is this from? Like Azul, like some, I don't know. It's like a weird sender. It's very personal. It looks very personal. And that's the point. They're, you know, they're
which
trying
makes
to make
you
it
look
personal.
Twice. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like how to take a break from your mind and like other spiritual advice. And I'm just like, dude, I'm drinking your coffee. Like what more do you want from me? Like, and it's kind of pestering. It kind of bugs me. So there's like certain, you know, it's just interesting to see like what kind of gets under your skin and what doesn't. But yeah, so switching gears a little bit, I wanted to follow up on this sort of wearable technology and how it can get tired. We talked about this last week. One of our listeners, Paul, wrote in. It's a great email, so bear with me. It's a paragraph long. I'd like to read it just because he has some really interesting points.
Please
and
do.
This is in relation to, yeah, just sort of the fatigue of like wearables and just forgetting to wear them and you don't get your data tracked and then you just sort of, you get exhausted and you just stop using it, at least in my case. So he writes, he says, "You wear it for the supposed benefits and marvel of technologies it contains, but you don't employ it like your phone. Though Apple might design it for the use of so many things only phones could do years ago. You use your phone for the vast majority of things anyway, because a larger screen with an interface you're accustomed to makes more sense. The notion of a small supercomputer strapped to your wrist is liberating, and yet you cannot interact with it as easily. Plus, to really test the watch life theory, you need to have spent more on a cellular model and pay the extra to your carrier to use it. At that point, the commitment is very real, and it's still mostly an experiment, barring real health monitoring reasons. Some people do require, making most cost concerns irrelevant, depending on severity of issue. If it's a mere workout tracker, it can be fun, but usually it's found to be inessential except for one hook, active friends and family who are consciously part of groups who compete and encourage one another. If you are social with people who send you regular updates and plaudits, you'll be far more likely to wear it just for those nudges and high fives, as cheesy as they may seem. Activity literally induces good chemistry, and the cycle perpetuates with the social element. Otherwise, it's a glorified calculator watch that needs daily charging and introduces heartbeat anxiety to the neurotic," which I thought was very funny. That's so me. And so many things to unpack here.
It kind of speaks to the issues you were talking about last week. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I think it's more than a glorified calculator, but
he's making a point. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. It is, you have to commit, and you have to commit to like the clunkiness of it, yeah. I guess. I mean, why did my watch wake me up?
That's actually annoying. I would be kind of pissed. You know, so here's the funny thing. So after we talked about this last
week.
Still
wore it.
One of the problems I'm having too is it does get annoying on my wrist, like physically. Like I get kind of sweaty or like I just, it's heavy or like it just kind of bugs.
Yeah.
But I was like, case in point, at this yoga retreat, it was like a long couple days of doing exercise and heart related activities, perfect time to wear the watch and track everything. Right. So I wrote myself a note. Don't forget your Apple Watch. Cause I thought, ooh, this will be fun. Cause I'm doing all these different classes and I can just, you know, start and stop and whatever. And so I wore it, and my new friend, Judy, who is now a new listener. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
She saw me there. She's like, "Oh my God, you're wearing your watch." And I kind of didn't get it, but she had listened to the show. It was really cute because she knew. She was like, "Oh my God, I totally relate." And we were chatting it up before class. So I wore it, and then first step, you put it on, right? You walk out the door, and then I forgot to start the timer. So total fail. I didn't even track one class, and then I forgot it the second day. So
you know, you can go back in time, Heather, on the health app.
I know, and track it there. Things. I need to do that. It's just more data recording. And I think that that's also.
You either have to be like in or out. Otherwise, it's like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
Yeah. Like, and then, so then I was thinking this Aura Ring, because I am on a Substack, and one of the ladies that I follow was talking about the Aura Ring. And I was like, God, maybe that makes more sense for my lifestyle, because it can just be on your finger. It's not as much of a nuisance. It can just be there. You don't have to really take it off. Well, you'd have to charge it and that kind of thing. But wearing like a smartwatch like 24/7 just feels like less comfortable and less discreet. So I was kind of reading about the Aura Ring, and I'm like, why didn't this cross my desk? Because it really didn't. I know it like came out in 2020. I was probably busy doing weird pandemic shit. But like it, you know, it tracks typical sleep metrics, REM, deep, total sleep. Mm-hmm. There's the chronotype thing where it just like discovers over time, like, are you a morning person or you a night owl, like circadian rhythms, that kind of thing, which I'm fascinated by. Like, I would love for this thing to tell me your ideal bedtime is. And apparently it like can predict like your period, which is kind of crazy, which would be really helpful for me actually, so that I can know when.
Apple Watch can do that too.
Okay. Well, I don't have that set, but I just was curious how you feel about the Oura Ring. Have you ever tested it out, Sarah?
I haven't. And what's funny is that I'm very familiar with it. It kind of looks like a titanium ring, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of bulky.
Well, I mean,
it's big.
It's, you know, it's a ring. Like, yeah. But it was funny for a while. Like, I'd sometimes like look at like, especially a man's hand, and be like, "Is that just like a guy?
Is that a wedding ring,
or I'm titanium with my wedding ring, or is it a ring?" But I do know people who use it, love it, sleep, and you know, overall health in general, very much forward with that. It's not for me. I just have tiny little baby hands. Like, I can't wear a ring that, like,
you're a tiny little baby.
I am a tiny little baby. You know, my Apple Watch also feels large to me, but like, yeah, I'm not, rings are not for me. But I feel like a lot of people might say, well, a ring is actually way better than like a watch. So, you know, we got options.
Yeah, totally. Well, I wanted to hear what y'all think out there, if anyone swears by the Oura Ring and maybe could contribute to this conversation. Or maybe you have another kind of nagging issue that you want to tell us about, and we will grouse with you. That is a guarantee. Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Please do, early and often. Hey, just a reminder, we are alive today because of our patrons. Well, here. That sounds a little dramatic, but you know what I mean. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where to find out more about how to become a patron. If you'd like to be part of our patronage, we could not do it without you. Ad-free show, some perks that Heather and I talked about on our last show that we need to, you know, fluff up.
Dive
much
into.
Like my new haircut. So we will get to that. Trust us, it's on the list. We did get a cool email from Mark, and this was sort of about listening to music and also just sort of like having thoughts, having emotions from last week.
Having a brain.
Having a brain. You know, you got a brain, you're going to have emotions.
You're going to have thoughts.
Mark says, I discovered the joy of seeing, hearing something so good, it moves you to tears. Recently went to a show at the Greek Theater. When Regina Spektor sang Becoming All Alone, tears were running down my face. I hadn't really thought much of the song from the studio recording, but something about hearing it live and listening closer to the lyrics really hit me. It's a profound feeling. Music is such a big part of my life, and I highly recommend A Good Musical Cry if you find that one artist or song that does it for you. Oh, Heather, do I have them?
And do I relate? I know it's actually funny, Mark, because I have had the same experience at a concert. And I was actually just scanning the concert calendar for Los Angeles, because I'm going to be there later this month. And I'm like, you know what? It's been a minute since I've actually been to a live show. Let me see if I can find something happening when I'm down there. I mean, on a daily basis, you know, I almost come to tears with joy when something great comes up on the radio and I can do some karaoke, if you will. Music, you know, sometimes you do need to be reminded, though, because I'll get in these phases where I won't listen to music for a couple days, and then I'll be like, oh, man, why am I not listening to music? Like, while I'm working, my headphones are right here. It's like you sort of forget and go in these different sort of routines. But I really relate to that. I'm not very familiar with Regina Spektor, but I've heard great things about her. I will have to listen to that song. But I think also he brought this up because we were kind of talking about laughing and crying and like crying and laugh, crying, laughing, laughing, cry, you know, the all the things that you do emotion wise in the last episode where you, you know, you're laughing and then you cry from laughing, or you're crying and then you start laughing because it's so emotional. So that's a very positive cry, Mark. Thank you for sharing.
It is. I, after I got, Metallica out of my system the other night, you know, sometimes I have weird things about music these days where like, if I hear a song and something isn't totally right, you know, mentally for me, like, I'm like, I can't listen to that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's like, you know, like hurting my feelings or anything, but I'm like, eh, I don't want that. I don't want that right now, you know? And, you know, so I've been trying to do like more shuffle stuff, like, you know, just give me something that I might like. And oh my gosh, Heather, do you remember the group, the American Analog Set?
I do know the name.
This is like early 2000s, mm-hmm. early aughts. Very kind of like, I don't know how you would describe them. Sort of Wilco-esque.
Yeah.
But there was a song that I used to like, but I had forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. I just forgot about it. You know, I remember liking it 20 years ago. And it came on the shuffle and I was like, oh my God, I love this song. But like, I don't know why, like it doesn't mean anything to me. It just means something about a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, I don't know, probably showing my age, but like those are sometimes the things where like that will induce tears, where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I remember being young. And hearing that song.
Totally. Yeah, it's important. Music is truly important on a lot of different levels, and a lot of different music is important. I mean, some of the stuff that I tend to listen to, I love listening to music when I cook dinner. That's like a sure thing. I almost never not have music on my janky CD player that turns on when I turn the stove on. It has a mind of its own. It's
smart
awesome.
Kitchen.
It's a really smart kitchen. telling you. Well, it's funny. Sometimes I'll go down there just to like boil some water in the middle of the day and I'm not turning the CD player on, but it'll turn on by itself and just start playing. It's pretty hilarious. But yeah, I listen to a lot of like Ennio Morricone and like kind of Italian like film score type stuff that's kind of jaunty and kind of, yeah, just like not like nothing that's too distracting, but it's also not like elevator music. It's like good, cool, composed, you know, music. I'm sure y'all out there know an Ennio Morricone track from, you know, he does a lot of Quentin Tarantino and all kinds of movies.
I mean, knowing our crew, somebody out there is going to be like, well, I actually worked with him.
100%. So. Oh, Lanes. I wanted to mention too how kind of fun it is to see the Halloween decorations start popping up.
Oh, God. You like this way more than I do.
I love Halloween. Like, I was just telling Elijah, Halloween is my favorite holiday by far, and I don't even know what comes second. I'm like, I don't know how much I love all the other holidays, but I love Halloween. It's so cool.
Well, we love that for you.
Sarah doesn't like to dress up. She's not a big costume person. And that's not why I like it.
I feel like people act weird when they're wearing costumes and it makes me uncomfortable.
They're alter egos. Let them have fun.
Yeah, but still, like, sometimes I'm like, life is weird enough. Like, don't be Spider-Man right now.
I love how affected you are by it. It's great.
It's fine. I mean, girl, when's the last time I went to a Halloween party?
Maybe mine, like circa 2004 San Francisco when you were a tea bag or whatever you were, a tea bag.
I was a hoe bag, a hoe Heather. Bag. I was a
That's
hoe
right.
Bag.
That's
Prager
right.
was
That's
a tea right. bag. And that other guy was a tea actually. Bag. And he actually ended up being a real D-bag, turns out.
Is it yeah. funny how that happens?
Yeah, we sort of spoke that one into existence. But all right. Well, listen, we love y'all. We're so happy to have you with us. You made it to the end of this episode. You know,
if you did, you really missed out.
To you. Salute to you. If you have any ideas of what we should talk about in a future show, hi@habsuchagoodday.com would be the way to do that. Otherwise, I think episode 209 is in the can, Heather.
It's in the can, it's in the oven, and spread the good word about Have Such a Good Day, y'all, to your neighbor, to your grandma, to your cousin Rick. And peace and love to you all out there.
Yes. Tell your mom and your cousin Rick. Okay. All right.
All right, y'all. See you next week. In the meantime, I will stay Heather forever.
And I will be Sarah for Mama.
Clever. Have such a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.